Welcome into the 49er Access Podcast. My name is Sterling Bennett, and today we are going to react to Brandon Ayuk's cryptic Instagram message in response to John Lynch's comments regarding their contract negotiations. We'll dive into John Lynch's comments at the NFL owners meeting, even react to Kyle Shanahan's comments this morning on Brandon Ayuk. So many interesting things to dive into this morning. Want to ask you kindly to like, share, and subscribe to the video, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, or on Twitter. Also, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the audio platforms. And with all that said, let's dive into what transpired yesterday and this morning when John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan spoke at the NFL owners meeting. John Lynch dropped a lot of knowledge, a lot of little tidbits we didn't know about, or some more insight into the runnings of the San Francisco 49ers. And the first thing that came to mind when putting the podcast together was new rules at the NFL owners meeting that got passed, that will be enacted, I believe, this year for the National Football League. The first one, I think, is the most egregious of these changes. That is the hip drop tackle being banned. And if you're not sure what a hip drop tackle is, go watch or Google Jimmy Ward's tackle on Tony Pollard, where Pollard's ankle got snapped. I believe it was the 2023 divisional round. That is a hip drop tackle, and I am someone who is vehemently against changing the tackle rule because, one, it's so hard to tackle in the NFL, especially for a smaller defensive back trying to bring down a 230, at times 250-pound tight end. It's hard enough. Now you cannot drop your entire weight down to stop them. If they tell you anything growing up, it's you grab the legs and you go down. And so to change the rule in a year like this, well, any year to be exact, was never going to be good. So not a fan of that, but you will see now players get penalized 15 yards, and you also see them potentially get fined if they are caught using a hip drop tackle. Now, how do you police that? We'll find out. I'm hoping. I don't think it'll happen, but I'm hoping the NFL goes into this and realizes what a mistake it was, kind of like being able to challenge pass interference calls. It's an overreaction to star players getting hurt. I'm all for people being healthy and player safety, but you are essentially giving the offense even more of an advantage in a time and place when they have arguably all the advantages in the world. Not a fan of that. I do, in fact, like the trade deadline, which is currently in week number 8, being pushed back to week number 9. The San Francisco 49ers were a proponent of this change, albeit they wanted it pushed back to week number 10, which makes even more sense to me. When you find yourself in a longer NFL season, the further you can push back the trade deadline, the better for every team involved. Whether it's the team trading away a player to get draft picks back, they'll know more likely where that pick will be. Or if you're a team trying to acquire a star player, you push that back 1 to 2 weeks. Now it'll be 1 week later in week number 9. You also have more teams that find themselves, hey, we were 4-4 at week 8, now we're 4-5, now we're 3-5 and 3-6. It just gives, one, the market bigger fish, which is always good. It also gives the contending teams more players to try to acquire, and it gives the teams trading away talent maybe more suitors for the players they're trying to trade away, which, again, the more players trade teams at the trade deadline, the more you're in the news, the better for the NFL. Then the final big rule change is the hybrid kickoff rule. Yes, the kickoff rules have changed once again. The NFL changed the kickoff rule, I believe it was almost a decade ago now, maybe a little less than that, from the 30-yard line to the 35-yard line where the ball is kicked off. Now it's changing once again. Well, yes, the ball will stay at the 35-yard line. The kicking team will start not on their own 40, they'll start on the opposition's 40-yard line and cannot move until the ball reaches the quote-unquote landing zone. The landing zone is inside the 20-yard line. The return team, their players, their blockers, start on their 35-yard line, and they can have up to 2 returners in the landing zone. Think of it the way it's lined up as when a team gets a safety when you're on punt return. very similar to that when it comes to having two returners back there to field the punt off, and there are no more fair catches. So the plan is, the hope is, more balls in bounds, we get more kick returns, and we also get players not getting as hurt. It is what it is. I don't love it. I also didn't like where it was at either. I'm someone who said, keep it where it is. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The issue is, players are getting hurt. They wanted to change it. So we'll see how it works. I'm always okay for a 1 year. Let's see how this thing configures, then being able to reevaluate later. I think this one is here to stay, but we'll obviously see how it works out during this NFL season. But now let's dive into what John Lynch had to say at the NFL owners' meetings. There's owners there, there's GMs there, and there are head coaches there discussing these rule changes, discussing how they can make the league better and more safe for their players. And John Lynch was very open about player injuries, the free agency process, and discussing why the team lost a 2025 NFL draft pick. And when in regards to free agency, John Lynch did say that he expects San Francisco to make a few more free agent signings. He did say they want to sign a safety, but the market as of now, while favoring them, it's tricky because you have star players like Julian Blackman, Justin Simmons, and others. Tre'Davious White comes to mind for cornerbacks, and there are amongst other players amongst the free agents. But the market favors a team like San Francisco, but the issue is the market also favors veteran players holding out. All that said, John Lynch did not rule out Tashawn Gibson returning this season. Now, Gibson did say he wanted to run it back one more season with the Niners last year. So this past season was supposed to be his last year with the red and gold. But if you have players like Justin Simmons out there, Julian Blackman, guys who are likely going to want opportunities to start, if you can bring back Tashawn Gibson and not change that safety room, or at least give you opportunity to draft a young safety to get him in there, like Jair Brown was last year, guys you hope can start, but also in this case, a guy that you hope can start in place of Talanoa Hufanga as he recovers from the ACL. And speaking of Hufanga, John Lynch did say that his ACL recovery is going well, and Kyle Shanahan added that they expect him to return to his old self once he's recovered, but like I already stated, still monitoring the safety market. They did tell, and this is really interesting here, while yes, they want to sign a safety, whether it's Gibson or insert other veteran free agent, they did tell recent visitor Julian Blackman that any new addition wouldn't necessarily be guaranteed a starting spot. They want depth. That's priority number one, with Hufanga coming off the injury. Now, there are many ways to look at that one statement. We were told by Mike Silver that Hufanga was not or is not promised his starting job back. Okay, it makes sense. There's an injury, but also you dive into it further. Contract year, there's an injury. Do they want to pay Talanoa Hufanga the money he may think he deserves? All that said, San Francisco themselves, being Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, seem to be hinting at the idea that isn't technically false, but it also isn't technically true, that what they really want is a veteran safety to come in and be depth once they get Hufanga back in case Hufanga isn't healthy. So I would say we're riding that fine line of, you know, is Mike Silver correct or Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch just kind of riding that fence of Hufanga's future, what that could be. I think it's both. I think for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they want to keep Hufanga. They want to pay him, but they also want to know that he's healthy. And for Mike Silver, he heard that from somewhere, and you don't keep those things in the dark if you're confident that this could be true. So I think for the Niners, if they can find a veteran piece, like Julian Blackman, like Justin Simmons on a two-year deal for relatively cheap, you'd bring them in, and you would be unafraid to start them when Hufanga or if Hufanga isn't healthy. And if they're playing better than Talanoa would be, you'd be okay holding on to them for an extra season and letting Hufanga walk or signing in for cheaper in a year or two. So this feels like San Francisco keeping the options open. You have a young player that's hitting the open market in 1 year's time. You have to pay Brock Purdy, you have to pay Brandon Ayuk and others. How do you want to go about this? They're just playing hardball. They're playing the game that we all do of will they, won't they? And I think as of now, they're just trying to figure out how can we find a borderline number one, bona fide number two safety across from Jair Brown if Hufanga is not healthy. Again, but if you can bring Gibson back, that I think makes the most sense. Probably pretty cheap. He likes it here. We love him here. So that makes all the sense to keep that marriage going between those two parties. We did get updates on George Kittle, Mooney Ward, and Dre Greenlaw. So Dre Greenlaw tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl. Tragic, I know. He is shooting to be ready for week number one of the NFL season, but, and I would expect this to be the case with Achilles injuries, well, you can recover in 6 months' time. You can be on the field in 6-7 months' time. Usually, you don't feel the same until 8-9 months down the road. You don't feel like yourself again a year removed from the injury. So Dre Greenlaw, while is shooting to be ready by week number one, it's more likely he hits the PUP list. And John Lynch said it might be more of a PUP situation, and PUP stands for physically unable to perform. I think they utilized that for Daryl Luter Jr. and Kalia Davis last season. It's something that you utilize for players. Like, you can activate them earlier than if you place them on IR. It essentially is for a player that's hurt in training camp, in OTAs, in minicamp, to say, hey, you'll be back in 4 weeks, not in 6 and 8 like IR would indicate. So I think there's a good chance that Dre Greenlaw's out for the first month, month and a half of the season. You get him on the PUP list, you get him back come week 7 or 8, week 6 if you're lucky, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself, hence why you signed Devondre Campbell to be your starter opposite Fred Warner. George Kittle, which this was a surprise to us, George Kittle and Mooney Ward both had core muscle surgeries and are expected to be back by training camp. We know Mooney had his just after the Super Bowl, and Kittle's is a brand new development from what we understand. But good to have both those vets under contract and also healthy again coming into a new year. And you hope it isn't a big deal once the pads come on later in September and August. San Francisco also touched on why they lost a fifth-round pick next year. And I know many Niner fans are like, a fifth-round pick? That's our gold mine. That is where we talk about finding our star players, Dre Greenlaw, right? DJ Jones was a little bit later than that. George Kittle, fifth-round pick. We lost a fifth-round pick. Why? Oh, why? Why couldn't it be a third-round pick or a first-round pick? Because we don't hit on those draft picks usually. But San Francisco lost a 2025 fifth-round draft pick and had their fourth-round draft pick this year get pushed all the way back to the very end of the fourth round past the compensatory pick. So double whammy I guess you can say the NFL bringing the hammer down of punishing them in two different ways. So the reason as to why they lost their fifth round pick and had their fourth round pick pushed back to the end of the draft or of the fourth round this year was because they overpaid a player $75,000 in 2020. It took the NFL 4 years, 4 years to punish the Niners for overpaying a player. Now, had they underpaid a player and that player took it to the NFL and filed the grievance, that would have made sense. They overpaid a player. I don't know how you get penalized for overpaying a player. Like, if my job overpaid me, I'm not going to penalize them. Now, corporate might. I have no idea how that works, but usually they just bite the bullet and say, made a mistake. Oops. Like, no one likes to lose money, and it's not like Jed York couldn't pay out of his pocket $75,000, and if they accounted for it. But apparently the issue wasn't just San Francisco overpaying the money. The issue was, in a way, in a sense, they asked for it back. They said, insert random player, can we have our money back? We kind of made a mistake here. And the player was like, no. The NFL was like, well, you can't do that. So what truly happened was they overpaid and they went about it the wrong way trying to get their money back. That's why they got punished by the NFL. So no 2025 fifth round draft pick and a later 2024 fourth round draft pick because they overpaid a player $75,000 and said, hey, can we get that back? And they said, no, It's not how this works. Andy Reid also talked during the NFL owners meeting, and he was asked about Brock Purdy. And the reason why I'm going to bring up Brock Purdy is because I like talking about Brock Purdy, and you like hearing about Brock Purdy. All of that to say, it does lead into what Kyle Shanahan had to say about Brandon Ayuk. So, Andy Reid, as you know, the Kansas City Chiefs head coach, what, a three-time Super Bowl champion as of this point, been to it, what, five times in his career, lost one with the Chiefs and one with the Eagles. So Andy Reid, arguably the best coach besides Bill Belichick of the past, you know, 15 years in the NFL, he was asked about Brock Purdy. And when you hear what he says, like, and very similar to what Steve Spagnuolo had to say, when you hear these high-end, top-tier, you know, top-caliber coaches, head coaches, defensive coordinators talk about Brock Purdy in a positive way, it does get you excited for what he could still become. And listen to the words Andy Reid used to describe Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. Here's the quote. "I know Kyle Shanahan has got a great young quarterback. And him, with a great young quarterback, is deadly." Hearing that, well, yes, Andy Reid wants Mahomes, would keep Mahomes, would never trade Mahomes for a Brock Purdy. Hearing those words, Kyle Shanahan, his system, his offense, the Niners are deadly with Brock Purdy. If that does not get you excited, if that does not make you want to cream your jeans, if you want to get vulgar with it or have a wet dream about what your quarterback could be in San Francisco, I just don't know what you want. We've seen him almost win the MVP, finished in fourth place. We've seen him take this offense to new heights alongside Chris McCaffrey. And to hear opposing head coaches, like, this is not Arthur Smith. This is not, you know, Cliff Kingsbury or Jonathan Gannon. This is Andy Reid, top of the top, the best coach in football right now, that is the most successful head coach the past five seasons, gushing over Brock Purdy. In fact, I would like to think in the back of their mind, back of his mind, that the Chiefs, Reid, Spagnuolo, both know, hey, we were getting beat by Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl. He had us dead to rights, and of course, you know what happens, but, like, there's a new kid on the block, and it is deadly. It's horrifying. It's scary to see him in a Kyle Shanahan offense. Now, we all know that, you know, Purdy still has to grow. He's still young. There are ways, there are avenues for him to get better. But to hear in 2 years of his career, other teams, and not just, again, run-of-the-mill bad teams. We're talking about the top of the top, you know, the tip of the iceberg. Talking about the Mount Everest of coaching staffs gush over Brock Purdy. And you'd like to think in year three, with the full offseason, an entire, you know, separate, deeper playoff run than 2 years ago, he's going to get better. And again, it's not a big deal because he has to go out there and prove it, but when I hear Andy Reid say, with him, with Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan's offense, he's deadly. Like, that is, oh, it gets me pumped up for August, September, when the season begins, because it's going to be a grind to get back to where we want to be. When you have a deadly quarterback like Brock Purdy, as Andy Reid says, it makes you really excited because Brock Purdy should get better, which when you almost win the MVP and you almost win a Super Bowl, you hope the next step is actually winning a Super Bowl or winning the MVP. So big stuff there, but keep that in mind because keep what Andy Reid has in mind because John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were both asked about Brandon Ayuk's future with the team and the contract negotiations with him. So we'll start yesterday. Yesterday, they asked John Lynch, you know, about Brandon Ayuk. And John Lynch said, "We want him to be part of the Niners, so we're going to work towards making that a reality." He also added, "They're actively talking with Brandon Ayuk," and he dispelled all the trade talk with the Jaguars and the Steelers. He essentially said, none of that's true. They haven't picked the phone up. They have made no calls. Like, they are actively just talking to Ayuk about, let's make you a Niner for the foreseeable future. Which, I think makes a lot of sense. Why would Jacksonville want to trade 17? Why would San Francisco turn down pick 17? Like, that, while at the time was all we had to work with, this didn't sit right with me, but you have to go with it because, well, that's all that's happening. If it's true, you don't want to ignore it. But John Lynch saying, we have not talked to any teams, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, no. There have been no Aiyuk trade talks in our building, outside of the building. It is, we are going to pay Brandon Aiyuk. And when you hear that, you're like, great, Niner fans rejoice, open the heavens, it's almost Easter. Maybe in your Easter egg or your Easter basket, you find a Brandon Aiyuk contract extension. And there you say, yippee! Like, thank you, Easter Bunny. And you're having your Kit Kats and your chocolate saying, wow, I got candy and an Aiyuk extension? Well, here we go. What a great Easter. All that to say that for as great as that sounds, for as great as John Lynch saying, man, like, we're going to pay Aiyuk. We're not trading him. We want to make him a Niner for a long time, and we're going to make that a reality. That sounds great. Hunky-dory. Cool, John Lynch. Thumbs up! Then Brandon Aiyuk decided to say, or decided to make things really spicy. Because Aiyuk, while he hasn't been vocal during this process, there have been spurts of, you know, hey, Mike Tomlin, they say we look like twins. And that's kind of all we heard from him outside of him being in Mexico for his birthday. That's all we've heard from Brandon Aiyuk. We heard from his family. You know, this could be our last day in Santa Clara at Levi's. This, that, and the other. He wants to play for the Raiders. Blah, blah, blah. That can all be true, too. Who knows? We haven't heard from Aiyuk himself, which is usually what happens during these conversations, which we all know that we all wished athletes would just say what they feel. And I think it's pretty obvious what most athletes feel. Pay me or stop talking about paying me. And Brandon Aiyuk went on to his Instagram yesterday and put these emojis. Money sign, talking emoji, the bull, the poop emoji, and then walking. Okay? All that equals to money talks, BS walks. Now, the question is, what is Brandon Aiyuk saying when he says BS walks? What I think Brandon Aiyuk is saying is, enough with the chit-chat. Enough with the, we want you to be here. We want you to be here. Make me be here. Pay me what I want to get paid. And if you're not going to do it now, stop talking about it. What you say in the media about, we want you here, BA. We love you, Aiyuk, means absolutely nothing to me unless that contract is in front of my face with the money and numerical value that I want. Now, what is that? Probably looking at $60 million guaranteed, 4 years, $90 mil, with that contract with Voyeur involved somewhere, right, to help San Francisco out along the line. But this, to me, while if I was Aiyuk, I get wanting to respond, I wish he didn't. It doesn't change the conversation, because we've gone through Deebo Samuel asking for a trade. We've gone through Fred Warner and George Kittle and those guys waiting till the last moment. Nick Bosa last year not saying much. Albeit, it's funny because, like, what would you rather have? Your star player, like Brandon Aiyuk, put on Instagram, you know, money talks, you know, BS walks. Or would you rather be Nick Bosa coming into training camp and OTAs, and when they ask you, hey, Nick, what are you going to get paid? Do you feel comfortable they're going to pay you? Him saying, yeah, I think I'll get what I deserve. Like, and then giving you the biggest, like, you know what I'm going to get paid. Like, why are you asking me, right? I'd rather have the Brandon Aiyuk meaningless conversation on Instagram of like, oh, whatever, you know, than the Nick Bosa, I'm here for one day to make sure I don't get fined, to show up and say, hey, I'm committed, and then say, now pay me my record-breaking contract. Whereas Aiyuk's playing the from afar, throwing arrows, like, most arrows miss. Like, I'm sure John Lynch sees the message, Kyle Shanahan sees the IG, and is like, that's funny. Like, it's meaningless to them. They know it's a business, so does BA. Hence why Lynch is saying, you know, and is being so positive with, like, we want to keep Brandon, want him to be here, he'll be a Niner forever, oh, we're going to pay him money, and we're going to make it a reality. And Ayuk's like, okay, then fine. Like, pay me. You know, pay this man his money. Pay me my money. And, like, it does make me wonder, though. When Ayuk says BS walks, does he mean that in regards to, you know, again, just stop talking and pay me? Like, or is it, you know, you have not offered me the contract I want. You have not offered me, like, you've lowballed me a contract. I'm not signing that crap you put in front of me. Give me what I'm owed, what I've worked for, what I deserve to get paid. I do wonder, as we know in the past, San Francisco likes to start very low with their contract offers and work their way up to almost penny pinch with their star players. Hence why it takes forever to get a contract done with players like Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, and now this year, Brandon Ayuk. I do wonder if that first few offers were so low that Ayuk was like, I'm going to go to Mexico. Call me when you're ready to talk. Because there are ways to read into BS walks of like, money talks, sure. Like, show me the money, right? BS walks, okay, again, show me the money or the money you offered. I'm sorry, John. Sorry, Prague, Jed and Kyle. It's just not good enough. So, for Ayuk to say that, like, it almost feels like we love Brandon Ayuk. Okay, well, Ayuk's like, then show me some love. Not in the meaningless with words. Show me with your actions. And I think it'll happen. Like, this can all come to a head in April, pre-draft. And Brandon Ayuk knows that his best leverage is pre-draft. Once you get past the draft, that leverage gets pulled out from under you like a carpet. It's boom, gone. And you fall and you're like, okay, I'll sign a contract. That's what San Francisco does. Like, we know they weren't going to trade Deebo. We know they weren't going to trade Fred or Kittle or Nick Bosa. We knew that. But Ayuk is different because they've already paid a receiver and there is positional value. Do you want to pay two guys $25 million on average, albeit you can structure contracts in a way to do so for a year or two? And it helps Deebo Samuel's contracts up after 2025. So he'll be a free agent in 2026, I believe, during the offseason. And they can get out of his contract next year. All that to say that Ayuk is trying to maximize, trying to put on Twitter, put on Instagram, trying to ramp up that value of stop talking and just pay me. Because he knows as soon as April 20, I think 6th or 5th, 6th and 7th comes, like, all of the leverage is gone. As soon as round one of the draft comes, done. They're not trading Ayuk away. As soon as picks 1 through 17, 1 through 20 are happening, they're not trading Ayuk. And he knows that. His agent knows that. I know that. You know that. Hence why San Francisco holds off forever. The longer you wait, the more the player knows he has to come to camp. He has to be there so he doesn't get fined. And he knows that money value, his value as a player, decreases by the week. As soon as there is no draft to say, you can replace him, you can replace him, then, oh, now you can't replace me. Now there is no way, there's no team going to trade for you because they filled the role you would have on their team. Now you have to come back to San Francisco. So if you're reading a lot into this, like I'm not, don't. Because this is just Ayuk saying, I'm trying to raise that value, put some pressure on San Francisco, and make them pay me a higher contract than what they'd like to do. I did find it funny, though, because John Lynch did say that they're willing and open to paying him the $14 million on his fifth-year option. They're willing to ride this thing out the whole season if it means having Ayuk for one more year. What does that tell you? That, to me, tells, or John Lynch saying that tells me that San Francisco, while maybe isn't okay letting Ayuk walk in one year's time, that they see his value cheaper than $14 million a year. And while, yes, they can lower a cap, they don't want to commit a ton of money for a long time. Now, does that mean they can find a replacement? They're open to trading him? Maybe. I look at it more so San Francisco says, man, if Ayuk's not willing to play ball with us, Sure. We are fine paying him $14 million this year, a cheaper contract than he'd probably get elsewhere or on the open market. That's fine. And in 1 year's time, if he wants to walk, fine. But also, if he, let's say, has a down year, they'll take that risk and say, go to the open market. I guarantee you, you're not going to get what you want. Now, I don't believe that. Ayuk will get paid. He's a top 10 receiver. Like, Ayuk would be able to hit the open market and have so much leverage against San Francisco. Now, who knows? This is a great receiver draft when it comes to this draft class. Maybe those receivers pop off and there are a lot of positions filled. All that to say, receivers usually get paid big money, albeit this year's different. Like, Ridley is the outlier. 4 years at $92 million a year. Like, that has been the outlier this offseason. No contract comes close, but Kyle Shanahan did add to this conversation. And George Kittle did make a comment about this. He memed Ayuk, right? So Ayuk put on Instagram, you know, money talks, BS walks, and emojis. Kittle responds with, don't walk, take the money bag. And then he puts an alien emoji, a plate, and a dog. My assumption was that that means don't walk, take your money, go get paid, you're an alien, eat dog. Like, you know, so Kittle obviously having fun through the process. I'm sure, like every other person that's gone through this, I'm sure he's talked to other players like Debo, like Kittle, like Fred. They all have to a certain degree. And it's asked him, hey, how does this thing work? How does this thing go? I've seen it from afar. How does it work in close? I'm sure every Niner player, if Ayuk asks, will say, just be patient. You'll get your money. They want to pay you. Unless San Francisco is like, we ain't paying you, which I don't think is happening. But again, Kyle Shanahan, he talked about this. He talked about Brandon Ayuk, and they asked him, okay, hey, Kyle, what is the importance of having Ayuk in this offense and having to pair him with Brock Purdy long-term? And again, go back to Andy Reid's comments about Brock Purdy. He's deadly in this offense. Kyle Shanahan said about pairing Ayuk and Purdy for a long time, said it's huge. I mean, it's hard to be a successful quarterback if you don't have real good receivers. And so it starts there with Brandon. And I think it's real big for Brock in his future, making sure we've got a good group for him going forward. Now, that to me is like, that's more reassurance than what John Lynch said. Because ultimately, Kyle, while isn't going to be, you know, gavel to, you know, the desk, be like, we're making this decision now, right? I'm not going to come in with an iron fist saying, like, we're going to pay Ayuk now. I think Kyle, running the offense, knowing he has a sub-26-year-old quarterback coming off a near MVP season, and you have Brandon Ayuk coming off a career year, and you also have an aging George Kittle, an aging Debo Samuel, and those guys play a physical brand of football, Ayuk's been hurt once, and it was only for one game. Like, you need to pay, like we've said plenty of times, you have to pay your young, healthy, ascending stars with a core that is aging. You don't trade your youngest, best star receiver, star offensive player, because, oh, we can't pay him. No, you find ways to pay a player like that. And I do think for Ayuk to say money talks, BS walks in regards to John Lynch, which, okay, whatever. I think Kyle's comments would make Ayuk, myself, and hopefully yourself, feel a lot more comfortable with his future in San Francisco. Like, no, like, we know how important Brandon is. We want to pair Brandon and Brock for a long time. We know that those two have the best chemistry of anybody on the team in regards to quarterback and receiver. We know that to win, we have to have Brock under contract, and we have to have Brandon here. Like, there are other ways to win. Like, this team had won prior to Brandon Ayuk being here, but with Ayuk on the field, they've gone to, what, 3 NFC championships in a row, and they've went to 1 Super Bowl. Like, they have been more successful, whether it's because of Brandon or not, they've been more successful with him than without him. And I'm sure there are many other reasons besides Brandon Ayuk on the team, right? There's defenses and quarterbacks and running. Like, there are other things, other factors involved in that. But you have went to 3 NFC championship games in a row, and you've almost won a Super Bowl with Brandon Ayuk. Like, there is a lot of value in that. And Ayuk would say, like, okay, like, you understand my importance. Or if, you know, if money talks, BS walks. I think all the BS went out the door with Kyle Shanahan's statements. Now, they're going to negotiate. They'll come to a money figure they'll both like. And it'll take a while. Take till August. Take till, you know, late July, whatever it might be. But you can tell that John Lynch is playing the PR game. We love Brandon. We love Brandon. Brandon's like, I ain't playing that game with you. Like, pay me then. And Kyle's like, no, like, we understand how important Ayuk is to our offense. We have a young quarterback, a young receiver. These things don't come along very often, especially in San Francisco, where the last great quarterback-receiver tandem was Jeff Garcia and T.O., which Garcia was an older quarterback at that point, and T.O. was gone in, what, 5 years because he went to the Eagles? Like, because they wouldn't pay him more money, amongst other reasons. Like, there really hasn't been those amazing tandems. There's been quarterback tight ends, Cap and Vernon Davis, and Alex Smith and Vernon Davis, and Jimmy G and Kittle. There hasn't been a quarterback receiver tandem this good since T.O. and Jeff Garcia. And if you are San Francisco, you are not letting that go. And Kyle Shanahan's words of, like, it's important to Brock, important to us to build around Brock, that means keeping Brandon. That's a lot more, you can glean more from that than what Lynch or even Ayuk had to say on Instagram. But what would be the sticking point? Like, what would Ayuk want? Is it money? Sure. Like, that's why he, like, that's the bottom line. He wants money, right? But I do think there might be another reason. And we've heard it plenty of times from family, from others on Twitter, that Ayuk wants to be utilized as the number one. Which, here he is a number one receiver, but Kyle Shanahan's offense is so different. Like, Sean McVay's offense with Cooper Kupp a handful of years ago, he is the bona fide number one. He's touching the ball 15 times a game. Every game. Like, that's just what they do. Now, San Francisco's offense is a lot deeper than the Rams' offense in regards to how many weapons they have to feed. But you are not going, if you are Brandon Ayuk, to find yourself amongst the top targeted players. You can lead this team in targets. You can have yourself an amazing season, a near Pro Bowl season, by not being even close to the most targeted player in the NFL, but you can be the highest targeted player on this team, and he has been the past 2 years for a good reason. He's always open. All that to say, Brandon Ayuk has that dog in him. He has that alpha in him, if you will. He wants to be a Devontae Adams. He wants to be a Cooper Kupp. He wants to be a guy who gets targeted inside the top 10, 15. Brandon Ayuk, last year alone, not 2022, just last year, ranks 36th in total targets, despite having the number one ranked yards per catch at 17.8, the fifth most receiving yards at just under 1,500, and is tied for 10th in touchdowns with 8. Ayuk is the 36th most targeted receiver in football. And if you are the Niners, if you are Brandon Ayuk, that may be where the money and dissension, a divide, could be created. Ayuk saying, hey, on any other offense, I'm a top 10 targeted player. I have 1,800 yards, and I have 14 touchdowns. And San Francisco's like, but you are not in any offense. You're in Kyle Shanahan's offense. You have 36th most targets. You have under 1,500 yards. You have under 10 touchdowns. Yes, you have the most yards per catch, but cool, great, happy for you. You're important to us. We value that. But you're not a Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams, a Cooper Kupp. You're not a Jamar Chase. We're not going to feed you 30 times a game, 15 times a game. You'll get 8 targets a game. You'll have 7 to 8 catches per game. You'll have over 100 catches on a year, but you're never going to rank inside the top 10 in targets. Like, even on games where there was no Deebo Samuel, Ayuk was not targeted 10-plus times, which you'd think you would. Kyle Shanahan said, feed Christian McCaffrey. And I think that's always going to be the case, where Ayuk, unless there is this miraculous change of, look, we have to get Ayuk involved, and there are certain games where one player eats more than others, McCaffrey, Ayuk, Deebo, they all have their games where you're like, wow, that guy stood out. They were great today, right? They had 10 targets. They had 12 targets. They had 5 targets. But you put Ayuk in Minnesota. You put Ayuk in Cincinnati. You put him in Los Angeles. Either team. You put him in Philadelphia. Despite many of those teams being a Shanahan-run team, Harbaugh now with the Chargers, even Philadelphia, who's a run-first team, like, A.J. Brown is targeted 15 to 12 times a game. Like, he is a mainstay in the offense. And even then, you saw him get angry towards not being targeted enough. He got traded from Tennessee because he said, I want to be an alpha. You're not letting me. And you're not paying me to be one when I know I am one. Similar to Ayuk. He's like, hey, I know I'm an alpha. Like, I can be the guy on 85% of teams in the league. Like, put me in Atlanta, watch me eat. Like, put me on a really bad team. Put me in Detroit, I'm the number one guy. Like, undoubtedly. And they have a great receiving core with Peoples-Jones and Williamson and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And like, even then, even in a stacked offense like that, Ayuk would have 12 targets a game. Not in Kyle Shanahan's offense, though. And it's not to say Kyle Shanahan doesn't like Brandon Ayuk. He gushed and said, hey, you want to pair Brandon and Brock for a long time. We just talked about it 5 minutes ago. That, to me, could be a sticking point, though, of like, okay, like, I know I'm an alpha. I am in a WR number one. I am a receiver number one. You are not paying me, or your offer doesn't equal to that value. I'll go elsewhere, and I'll be a receiver number one. I'll rank top 10 in targets. I'll have 1,800 yards, 2,000 yards, and I'll have 10-plus touchdowns. I will increase my value elsewhere. That, to me, right there, is where I do think the money gap gets created. Because, again, like, that's the difference in $26 million per year and $23 per year. That's the difference in $55 million guaranteed and $60 million guaranteed. Like, teams are fickle. They're not going to budge if they don't value you. I'll rephrase that. They value Ayuk, but it's how you're utilized in the offense, your numbers, your value on the field, where they calculate your numerical value, right? Where Ayuk is extremely valuable on the field. Great receiver, the best separator in football, an amazing blocker, does so much for this offense. Whereas if he was elsewhere, he would do all that stuff, but double, because he's the guy. And San Francisco might say, well, you can be that elsewhere, but here, you're not that. Here, you're not paid that. Like, take my career, for example. I work in sports radio. I want to be a sports radio host. That's my goal. Whether it's having a large podcast or it's being nationally syndicated, that's the dream. And you have to work on it, and I'm still doing that. But in my field, you have to move from place to place, market to market, to move your way up, to prove you can be that level of host or be that level of football player. Sometimes it takes leaving to expand your horizons, right? Like, you can be a board op, a producer, a phone screener, you can be a weekend host, but you want to be the guy. Sometimes you have to leave to get the opportunity elsewhere, to get promoted elsewhere, someone else to see that in you, right? Happens all the time. Like, this is no different. This is, okay, like, I will play for $14 million for one more year. That's good enough money. I'll work another year at the station for $25 an hour. That's good enough money. But that's not my goal. My goal is to be the guy, the receiver, the host, making thousands, in Ayuk's case, making millions of dollars in the 20s, maybe even in the high, low 30s. Like, that's his goal. And Kyle Shanahan's like, okay, like, we appreciate your tenacity, your drive, but here, you're never going to be that. So we'll pay you what you're worth to us, but if you want to leave, like, we don't want you to. We value what you do here. But if you have to go, we will find a place for you. And again, I think they're going to pay him. I think he'll be here. I think they value him. Shanahan already said that they want to marry Brock and Brandon for a long time. I think that's true. They're not going to trade him. Like, I don't believe that. But they've openly said they're willing to pay him and play him on the fifth-year option. Will Ayuk do that? Who knows? But I've also said, he ain't Bosa. And if you ain't there, you getting fined. Like, you're not Debo. You are Brandon Ayuk. Who's great? Who's great? Who's really good? Not the same level. They will find you. They don't want to, but they will. Like, they will do that. And if you don't show up, you are going to get fined. You're going to get docked part of that $14 million cap hit you have this year. So it's a long process. I do think we did learn a lot in just a handful of statements. John Lynch is playing the PR game. We love Brandon. Ayuk's like, well, then show me you love me. And Kyle's like, no, we love Brandon. Like, we want to make sure he's here for a long time. But a long ways to go until August and September. Like, leading up to the draft, I think it's 1 month away now, almost exactly. Like, this conversation is going to get more and more and more. You're going to hear this team made an offer and that team made an offer. And maybe they pull the trigger and say goodbye. That's, in my opinion, not going to happen. But we'll see. I just think, if anything, we learned from Lynch and Shanahan and Ayuk is Ayuk says, pay me. Shanahan says, we want you to be here. And I think Shanahan, knowing his offense, knowing how good Ayuk is, I think it, that chemistry both those guys have, the history they have together, isn't the same as Debo, mind you. Debo was the first receiver that really hit in Shanahan's system. But Ayuk, you go back to the draft room, Shanahan is like, let's go, we got my guy. I don't think Shanahan wants him to leave. It's a business, sure, but I do think Kyle would pay out of his own pocket to keep Brandon in the building. I really do. But that's football. I mean, and we will see what happens with Brandon Ayuk's contract and what happens. I think he'll stay. We will see what happens come April on draft day. Will Brandon Ayuk still be a 49er? What would you do with Brandon Ayuk? Let me know in the comments down below. Do you think they'll pay him? Do you think they'll trade him? What does Brandon Ayuk's future look like in San Francisco? Would you make of John Lynch's comments about Ayuk? Would you make of Kyle Shanahan's comments about Ayuk? What did you make about Andy Reid's comments towards Brock Purdy? He's deadly. He is deadliest catch of quarterbacks. But look, that's all I have for you today. Hope you have a wonderful, Tuesday? Wonderful Tuesday, wonderful Wednesday when the audio version of this comes out. My name is Sterling Bennett. Asking you kindly to like, share, subscribe, leave that review. Follow us on social media at 49ers_access is the Twitter. 49ers.access is the Instagram. You can also use our promo code 49ersaccess, 49ersaccess at SeatGeek.com. MLB opening day is right around the corner for 28 teams in baseball. Use that promo code and save yourself $20 off. Go to opening day with your father, your brother, your sister, your mother. Enjoy some baseball and celebrate the nation's pastime coming back. I am hyped for this season. I can't wait. So use that promo code and save yourself $20 off your first purchase. And as always, until next time, stay faithful.